Welcome to the WREL Daily Download. I'm your host, Amanda Lamb. In today's deep dive conversation with WREL's investigative producer, Randall Kerr, we're going to talk about what schools can do to try and prevent shootings on campus and what they should do if a shooting does happen at their school. Randall, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Amanda.
So this is so relevant. I mean, obviously, everybody's talking about what happened in Nashville this week, the tragedy. Several administrators there and students were killed. I think the total is six. And obviously, every school system in the country watches these incidents and they try to figure out, you know, what can they do to keep their schools safe? I know that for your story, which you had been working on, obviously, prior to this, you spoke to an expert here in North Carolina. What does his company, Lockdown International, do to help counsel these schools?
Well, they provide training for schools, corporations. They actually worked with our company to provide some training. And they run a system that's the ABCs of active shooting. And so they teach companies avoid, which means to avoid the shooting. Obviously, that's kind of a no-brainer. But if you have the ability to escape, then you should escape any of these situations. The second on their list is barricade, and that needs to be done immediately. The gentleman that we spoke with, who's the CEO of the company, he's a former police chief. He has studied some of the biggest active shooter scenarios over the past, 20 years that we've had, going back to Virginia Tech. So they teach barricade immediately because his research shows that these active shooters, and especially in schools, they research what they're going to do. Just like we heard with the most recent shooting in Nashville, that this the shooter had plans drawn up around the building, knew exactly what they were looking for. So, you know, their belief is these shooters know where they're going and they know how long they have. And if they meet any resistance, like a barricaded or locked door, they're going to keep moving on. So they can reach their goal, whatever that is, and however sickening that is. And then the third prong of what they teach is counterattack. And it's exactly what it says. If you have no other option but try to fight, then you must try to fight. And so that's what they teach schools and corporations.
I thought it was really interesting. His name is Seth DeSanto, about the planning that goes into these incidents. I think a lot of us assume this is somebody who just snaps, that they, you know, they're having some issues and then one thing happens and then they go, well, I'm just going to take a gun and go into a school. But that's not really, from his research, that's not what they found, correct?
Absolutely not. I may mess up because it's been a while since I did this interview, but I mean, he talked about the shooting. The shootings at Virginia Tech, he talked about Sandy Hook, he talked about some of the others that involved schools. And in each of those cases, there was evidence that the shooter had actually studied previous school shootings to, for lack of a better term, to almost one-up the previous incident. I mean, so there's obviously some mental health issues going on with these cases, but there is certainly enough planning and wherewithal that they know what they're doing and they research it before they go do it. Yeah, this isn't someone who's walking down the street and, a road rage incident and they just snap and go to a workplace or a school and decide, they're going to start shooting people.
Understood. Well, we're going to be back after the break with more from WREL's Randall Kerr about the state guidelines, the current guidelines for these situations, and why this expert that they spoke with for this report believes they are outdated. Welcome back to the WREL Daily Download. I'm talking with WREL's Randall Kerr about how schools in North Carolina are making plans in case of a school shooting, something no one wants to have to do, but obviously this is very important in this day and age. I understand that the North Carolina Center for Safer Schools, which falls under the auspices of DPI, correct? The Department of Public Instruction here in North Carolina?
Correct. Yes, it was formed out of legislation. It was formed out of legislation several years ago.
And so their guidelines, which, I mean, we've heard this mantra over and over, run, hide, fight, run, hide, fight. But DeSanto believes these are outdated. I mean, what is wrong with that phrase, for example?
His main concern is, you know, if you compare the two mottos they use, run and avoid are very similar. Fight and counterattack are the same thing. His issue is the word hide. Especially when you're dealing with kids, young children, to them, hide is hide and seek, not hiding from a shooter. And, you know, the Center for Safety of Schools has a video that they distribute. And look, they provide guidance to school systems that want them. Some school systems, Durham hires, they use a separate security company to do a lot of their training. But these are the guidelines that the Center for Safer Schools makes available to public school systems. And they use the word hide in conjunction with locking a door or getting in a closed room. But his concern is just the message, the word hide may send the wrong instructions to children. He pointed out in some of the previous shootings at Columbine, 12 of the 13 victims were hiding. At Virginia Tech, 28 out of 29 were hiding. At Sandy Hook Elementary, every student and staff member who died was hiding. There's a big difference between barricading and getting behind something sturdy and simply hiding. And so his concern is that, his concern is that, you know, we may be teaching it what hide is, but he just thinks the verbiage sends the wrong message. And he points to the fact that, you know, this run, hide, fight mantra was created more than 15 years ago following a grant from the Department of Homeland Security. And he just feels that it's outdated. And he thinks, you know, more needs to be made of barricading. And, you know, his company sell a device that helps barricade doors. But he points to the fact that, you know, right now, like in our training video, we show a teacher pushing a table up against the door to barricade it. Well, I mean, what if you have an elderly teacher? What if the door's in the back part of the classroom? I mean, so it's just not a plausible scenario to always follow, especially when time is of the essence.
And I guess it's probably, if that's all you have, it's what you have, and you have to do that. But, you know, a chair or even a table, if it's not super heavy, is really not going to keep somebody with a gun and with intent from getting into a classroom. So I know this company, Lockdown, has something they call a barricade box. Mm-hmm. Explain to us what it is, what it does, and just how it works.
So it's a simple box. Very similar to, you know, a lot of people that listen to this may have in their homes. They have a little chain lock on a door from the, you know, that locks from the inside that you can, you know, slide the chain over and attach it to the door. The concept is very similar, but it's a box that you attach to a wall next to an interior door handle. You pull the cover off and it has a Kevlar cord. You pull that cord, wrap it around the doorknob twice, and then loop it back onto the box, and it is barricaded. You can't move the door at all. I mean, their training video shows it literally takes about 3 seconds to do it. And, you know, some schools don't have automatic locking doors, especially our rural schools that have some security challenges. You know, for $50, it could be a great option to have the ability to quickly secure a classroom and then give teachers time to think about what the next step should be, whether that's trying to get out of a window, or at that point, yes, you're not hiding, but you're getting behind something to protect you. And that's the message that he was in.
But again, I was really intrigued by the fact that he seemed to say, you know, if you can get out a window, get out a window, like get away from the scene.
Absolutely. I mean, it goes back to the avoid. And, you know, obviously in some cases, you know, if you're in a, you know, my children's high school, I mean, that's four floors. You're not going out of a window from the fourth floor unless you absolutely have to. And that's your only chance of survival. But, you know, what this does, you know, just it gives you time to think about the next step. And if it is escape, it's escape. And granted, the Center for Safer Schools, they do teach that as well. That if you can, once you're secured in a room and you can get out of a window, teachers and staff are encouraged to break windows, go out first and help the children get out. I mean, so that is part of our protocol. But his problem is with, again, going back to the word hide. You know, if we're teaching our children to hide under a desk from an active shooter, that child's not going to survive.
Well, this is a difficult conversation to have. And thanks to Randall Kerr, WREL Investigate senior producer, for joining me. WREL reached out to the North Carolina Center for Safer Schools and received the following statement. The center's strategies for student safety evolve month to month, and we look forward to releasing a new resource guide in the coming months. Currently, the center engages statewide with all 115 school districts and focuses on three main initiatives, including developing our training center, ensuring behavioral threat assessment teams are trained in schools, and EKG2. They further explained that EKG2 is a seventh grade program that, quote, teaches students about the legal, medical, and emotional consequences of youth gun possession, substance abuse, and related gun violence. Please tune in to WREL's On the Record at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. Host and anchor Lena Tillette will be talking with experts about school safety. Thanks for listening.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.